From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Physician groups are asking a federal appeals court to reconsider its July ruling to uphold a Florida law passed in 2011 that restricts what doctors can ask patients regarding gun ownership. Opponents of the law, which has been dubbed Docs versus Glocks, argue it restricts physicians' free speech and could set a worrisome precedent. Supporters of the law say it prevents medical providers and insurance companies from discriminating against or harassing gun owners. We'll hear from both sides. Plus, as of early August this summer, 22 people have died from lightning strikes in the U.S. That's double the average number of deaths over the past 5 years. With Florida being the lightning capital of the country, we take a look at the possible reasons and how to protect yourself. First, this news.
Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Amy Tardiff. It's Labor Day weekend with many folks about to enjoy outdoor picnics, the beach, pool, and our first high school Pop Warner, college football games of the season. But don't forget the summer storm season is at its peak. As of August 1st, 22 people have died from lightning strikes in the United States. That's double the average number of deaths over the past 5 years. The National Weather Service says three of them were in Florida. Two men were working on rooftops, one was walking. With Florida being the lightning capital of the U.S., we take a look at the possible reasons for the increase in deaths this year. Lightning myths, such as rubber tires, are not while you're safe in the car. And how to protect yourself. Joining me is Gerald Campbell, the emergency manager for Florida Gulf Coast University. He served more than 12 years as the Lee County Emergency Operations Center planning chief, with his final 2 years as the acting emergency management program manager. Thank you for being with us today in studio, Gerald.
Thank you, Amy.
Also joining us from WUFT in Gainesville is Jeff Huffman, the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network meteorologist. Thank you for joining us, Jeff. You can join our conversation by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or tweet at WGCU using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And each of you answer on whatever is your expertise. But let's begin with, what is lightning? Jeff, why don't you take that one?
Yeah, well, Amy, lightning is obviously something we're all very used to here in the state of Florida. And what... You know, what causes it, it's of all the weather phenomena, it's one of the ones that sometimes is the most challenging to predict. But it's that buildup of static electricity, basically, a buildup of negative charge in the cloud tops that occurs because there's all this friction occurring in those clouds. And the taller a thunderstorm grows, the more friction and negative charge that there is that builds up in the tops of those thunderstorm clouds. And so obviously what happens is it looks for the positive charge to connect to, sometimes on the ground, on the earth here. And then, of course, you get that amazing discharge of electricity that is nearly 10 times as hot as the sun, and it's very unpredictable as to where it may occur in and around a thunderstorm. So when it comes to the state of Florida, one of the reasons why we are at the top of the list, at least here in the U.S. in terms of the frequency of lightning, is because we have thunderstorms almost year-round. We have an incredible difference sometimes that takes place in temperature between the ground and the conditions aloft. We have moisture available. We have all the ingredients that you need for thunderstorms to form. And the taller they grow, the greater the chances of lightning, the more friction there is up in the cloud tops.
Either of you have any idea why there are more deaths this year than in recent years past?
I think that's really – it's difficult. Some of it is just chance because the numbers are small, although significant and a tragedy for those people who are impacted. But one of the things that we see here in Florida is that there's a complacency because thunderstorms occur so often. Every summer afternoon, there's a chance for a thunderstorm, and we become very accustomed to the thunder and lightning that are out there, and people just don't always take that precaution seriously. That if you can hear thunder, you can be struck by lightning. And that's an important thing to remember, that so many of us say, I'll just wait a little while longer before I go in or before I do something else. So we worry that it's complacency, it's a lack of knowledge, and then some people are just really out there trying to work and get that last little bit of work done, and they just don't realize the hazard until it's too late.
Jeff, who is most vulnerable?
As Gerald mentioned, I think those who tend to experience this more often – And the more times you dart to the car in a parking lot or run across campus, Gerald, as I'm sure you see your students doing during a thunderstorm, that makes us vulnerable. I mean, in terms of the stats, the folks who are outdoors, obviously, doing activities that they're just unwilling to move become the most vulnerable. In fact, when you look at the deaths, 64% of them, at least since 1959, have been doing leisurely activities. 64% have just been doing something that they could have probably postponed or moved to a different location. 53% of those were participating in some type of water sport, water activity or sporting event. Soccer and golf are the two top sports that are vulnerable to lightning. And in terms of leisure activities, fishing has accounted for nearly two times the number of deaths compared to the other leisure activities. So when you look at the numbers, it's kind of those folks who are probably the most stubborn in terms of their routine and wanting to participate in those leisure activities are the ones that end up being the most vulnerable. Very rarely do we see someone just going about normal day-to-day stuff, walking to your car, moving from one part of a neighborhood to another just for normal activities. Very rarely is it those that are struck and actually killed by lightning. It's unfortunately those who are participating in those activities that could be changed or could be moved inside.
On the day in July 2014 when a man was killed and two teenagers injured by a lightning strike on Fort Myers Beach, Earth Network's Total Lightning Network detected more than 16,000 lightning flashes and 2,300 cloud-to-ground strikes within a 50-mile radius of Fort Myers Beach between 11 a.m. and 3:15 p.m. And a lightning safety expert with NOAA is quoted in a news press article from that day saying the beach is one of the worst places to be during a storm. Is that true?
Historically, we've seen that that's true. That fishing, water sports, the beach, all of those things that are associated, open golf courses, those places where people exposed to the elements are either in an unprotected enclosure or are themselves the highest point around, in some cases for miles, on a flat beach. All of those things add to the hazard factor of being around. So yeah, people can make themselves targets by refusing to heed that warning and come inside when it's time.
We mentioned 50-mile radius in that last question. People at the beach can see storms far away. They might say, oh, that's way down in Naples or way offshore. How far away is too close?
Well, Amy, we've seen it right here in our building on the University of Florida's campus. It was, I think, October of last year. The nearest raindrop we could find on radar to an approaching thunderstorm was 12 miles from our location at the exact time that our tower took a strike here on the top of our building. So the stats basically say 5 to 10 miles away from a thunderstorm is too close. So it actually correlates really strongly to how far you can typically hear thunder from a lightning strike. So you've heard the saying, when the thunder roars, go indoors. And that is legitimately what you should do, because if you can hear the thunder, chances are you're within striking range of a lightning bolt, whether you're under the rain from a thunderstorm or not.
So in Florida, there also seems to be this lightning bolt that seems way ahead of the actual rain. Is that just a Florida phenomena too?
No, that can happen anywhere. However, you have to keep in mind that sometimes lightning does travel outside the top of a thunderstorm cloud, not necessarily moving underneath it or striking underneath it. And some of these thunderstorms here in Florida can grow, 40 to 50,000 feet into the atmosphere. So you're going to see them, and they're going to look, a ways off, but you're still within range, usually within 10 to 15 miles from the actual rain of the storm.
Yeah, just to support Jeff on that, the idea is, first thing is, there will always be a first strike from any storm that comes up. And with the number of storms and the number of strikes that we have in Florida, it's not uncommon to see that first thunder or lightning bolt well away from the rain shield at that time. And so that's the thing that people really need to remember, and we can't reiterate that enough. In general, if you can hear thunder, you can be struck by lightning. And that's just an important thing to keep in mind.
We're talking about lightning today on Gulf Coast Live with Gerald Campbell, FGCU's new emergency operations chief, and Jeff Huffman, meteorologist with the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. Lightning deaths in the U.S. as of August 1st have nearly passed all of 2013 and are close to passing all of last year. 22 people have died across the country. Email us at gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or give us a call now at 1-877-GCU-TALK. And so what should you do if you're caught outside in a thunderstorm? Gerald, let's start with you.
Well, the best thing to do is not to be caught outside during a thunderstorm. The important point to that is when you hear thunder, go inside a sturdy building, an enclosed building, not a carport or a shed or a beach umbrella. We need a roof and four walls. Head inside that or inside a car and wait until the thunder and lightning storm passes. That's actually the simplest thing. If you're caught outside during a lightning storm, there's not a lot you can do to improve your safety except to move as quickly as you can to a safer place to be.
What if you're indoors?
If you're indoors, stay away from windows, doors. Don't work with or talk on a corded phone or other corded devices. And any equipment that's plugged into an outlet or that works with an electrical cord is subject to transmit electrical voltage across there. So go inside the central part of your house. A walk-in closet, it may sound a little like overreaction, but there's a lot of storm activity that goes on with lightning. So inside your house, away from the doors and windows, stay off the phones, don't watch TV and those sorts of things, and just wait it out.
But are wireless phones okay these days?
Wireless devices are going to be okay. It's the wire that can actually conduct electricity into your body that's the real hazard there. So while they may not work well, they won't be any particular hazard to you.
Jeff, we have severe thunderstorm watches and warnings, but I thought they typically meant the storm can produce high winds, hail, tornadoes. Are there no warnings issued for lightning storms?
That's a challenging topic, Amy, because the National Weather Service official criteria for a severe warning, one that, you know, it could produce wind or damaging hail, does not include the frequency of lightning. I think at one point there was an experimental run with the potential for some offices to have a little leeway in issuing warnings if the threshold of the frequency of lightning was at a certain level. I will say this just in my day-to-day understanding and watching how the National Weather Service works. There are times where I imagine they are considering the frequency of lightning as a part of the hazards with the thunderstorm, especially with those strong storm or significant weather advisories. But no, to answer your question categorically, lightning is not a factor that's considered outright with regards to actual warnings. I want to remind folks, Amy, that the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network has just launched a new application, mobile application on an iOS device. It's called Florida Storms, and it's one of those, it's a free app that actually, if you turn on the lightning data, you can see those strikes in real time, and you can even get notified if lightning is within a 10-mile radius of you. You know, to Gerald's point, when you're outside and already out in a storm, obviously, yes, moving inside is the most important thing you can do. But also, sometimes we get so caught up inside with our activities, we may not realize that a storm is approaching. Maybe we can't hear the first few rumbles of thunder inside a building. Having an awareness, just a general awareness of when lightning is nearby or moving close to you is important, whether you're inside or out.
Does the app have a push notification for lightning? That might be a warning system.
It does. It has behind that app is pretty incredible, and a lot of apps charge for this, but we're pleased to offer it through the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network and this station, free to iOS devices and within a couple of weeks, Android devices. It's called Florida Storms, and if you enable push notifications, it will alert you anytime lightning strikes within 10 miles of your location, or, of course, the other customized alerts for severe warnings and tornado warnings.
We have a call now from Monica in Bonita Springs. Hi, Monica. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live. What's your comment or question?
Hi, yeah, I'm a swim instructor in Florida, and I was just wondering what the protocol is for that. You know, I've heard a lot of conflicting information. In some places, you know, the pool is cleared right away, and patrons aren't allowed back in the water until 20 minutes after the last heard thunder. And in other places, you know, people don't believe that you have a right to tell people to get out of the water. Other people have told me that the pool is grounded because of rebar and there's not really a danger. And so I'm just wondering, you know, what is the protocol for swimming pools and storms? Yeah. And I'll take the information off the air.
Well, thank you very much, Monica. And Gerald is shaking his head and closing his eyes. I'm going to let him take your question there.
Monica, that's a really good question, and part of what it comes down to is that protocols are established by the owners of the pool, and that's something that they are ultimately to be held responsible for. But the word of advice there is, just as we've said, if you can hear thunder, you can be struck by lightning. And that idea that pools are grounded or that rebar does anything special, any of those things are just potentially deadly myths. A pool is a dangerous place to be during a lightning storm, and that idea of clearing the pool, keeping people out of the pool for at least 20 to 30 minutes after you hear the thunder is a good piece of safety advice. Whether it's protocol by the business or not is something that they should consider, and I would urge you to talk with your management about that and encourage them to do some research on lightning safety, because having people in a pool is a dangerous activity.
We also have a question that came through by an unknown caller. Is Florida the lightning capital of the world or just the U.S.? Jeff, do you know?
Just the U.S. I guess we can't top the list on this one. There are some places in South America and in Africa that experience, in terms of lightning frequency, a little more than we do. But I did a quick little math lesson here. You know, lightning strikes the earth, Amy, an average of 100 times a second. Actually, hang on. I had did all this math and then lost it on my computer. But 100 times per second. So even since we've been talking, it's been over 600,000 strikes around the world. So it happens a lot. And you have, whenever I look at the lightning data on radar, sometimes it is mesmerizing how frequent those strikes are, because you're listening with your human ear and watching with your human eye, and just keep in mind you can only see so far and hear so far within a thunderstorm how frequent it is, and you still may not know what's still headed your way. So that's why it's to be taken seriously, and the frequency is just mesmerizing in how many times the earth has struck it. And honestly surprises me sometimes how few the numbers are that are impacted by lightning, considering how many strikes actually do reach the earth.
Another caller wants to know if it's safe to take a shower during a lightning storm.
I would advise against that as well, because in a lot of houses there's still copper piping. Water can still be a conductor, and you can still be, if lightning strikes a house, even if it doesn't travel through the water itself, you can still be struck by side strikes through the plumbing and other activity. So I would postpone that shower for just a little while.
Do most people survive or die from being hit by lightning? And I'm talking direct strikes, which I hear are unusual, or these side strikes like you're mentioning?
The statistics, and I don't have the exact totals, say that most people actually do survive lightning strikes. They don't die from the strike, although the number of fatalities is still a really high number per event. But those who survive are often left with lifelong debilitating injuries, muscular, vascular, neuro things, all of those, because of the discharge of energy that goes through your body. You can actually stop your heart, you can stop your breathing, and if those stay stopped, even if you survive, you can lose huge quality of life parts there. So that while people do survive, they may never be completely whole again.
What should you do if someone near you is struck by lightning? Are they safe to touch?
They are absolutely safe to touch if it was only the lightning strike. Now, if they're in contact with an electrical conductor or wire or something like that, then they may not be. But if someone has been struck by lightning and it's safe to be out to do so, then it's okay to do CPR. It's okay to do rescue breathing and those sorts of things if necessary. But I would try to move those people out of harm's way and back into a building if you can do that. But it's safe to touch a person who's been struck by lightning. There's no residual charge.
We have some myths to debunk in our last few minutes. Which one of you feels most adept at answering these? Is the tallest object always what gets struck?
That is a myth. The tallest object is more vulnerable or more likely to get struck, but lightning can choose to strike something that is not as tall, even though something taller was nearby. There's a lot of other sciencey things that go into that in terms of the positive charges that are emitted from the ground and what is grounded or what's not. But it does not necessarily have to be the tallest object, but you are more vulnerable if you are or near the tallest object.
What's the real reason you should get into a car? It's not rubber tires, is it?
No, it's not the rubber tires. It's a metal car with a metal roof. Convertible cars don't offer any protection either. It's that metal shell that's around you that, if lightning were to strike, will help conduct the charge away from your body and into the ground without going through your body. For the same reason that the key word there is metal structures, because fiberglass boats don't offer any real protection. Fiberglass RVs and shells, tents, just because it's enclosed, it needs to be a solid construction with a good roof and doors that close. And that will help conduct the lightning around you should you have a strike instead of through your body.
And last but not least, real quick, do planes get hit by lightning?
Yes.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
It's always a fascinating picture, and I don't know of any, you know, I think lightning or planes are fully equipped to handle and take care or ground the lightning. I don't think I've ever recalled a plane being struck and actually having complications from it, other than just the beauty and the awe of it.
That's good to know. But that is also all the time we have. Thank you so much, Gerald and Jeff.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Jeff.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Gerald Campbell is the emergency manager for Florida Gulf Coast University. Jeff Huffman is the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network meteorologist. More information is at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. I'm Amy Tardif. Thanks to John Davis, Richard Chinqui, and Luke Martin. This is WGCU FM 90.1 Fort Myers, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.